Now, most people that are in here probably recognize me as an ARS scientist, and for those of you that don't know, I recently changed jobs and I'm now with Mississippi State University, still there in Stoneville at the Delta Research and Extension Center. But all these data that I'm going to present today are from research that I conducted while at ARS. As my title said, I'm going to talk about early season insect control, and the main pests that I'm going to focus on today are thrips, aphids, and cutworms. As everybody knows, we've seen a dramatic change in cotton production early season, especially in Mississippi. We've had a big shift where we have had a big increase in the amount of acreage planted with neonicotinoid seed treatments and a big decrease in the amount of acreage where the growers are using Temic at planting. Another change has been Roundup Ready technology, which has somewhat influenced some of our early season insect control options. The way that has changed some of our insect control options is it has increased the frequency of over-the-top herbicide applications, and what many of our growers are doing now is, for convenience purposes, they're including a pyrethroid or a generic acephate, some cheap insecticide, co-applied with those over-the-top herbicides, and it's definitely having some impact on our insect populations. This is some data that I collected in 2006, and what we wanted to do is look at the impact of these insecticides co-applied with our Roundup on insect populations and overall yields. And what we did in this test is we just planted plots. It was in a split plot design, and the no sprayed had no insecticide applied. The sprayed had two applications of an insecticide co-applied with Roundup, and the no sprayed did have Roundup applied over the top at those same two timings, at the one true leaf stage and four true leaf stage. And what this slide is showing is thrips populations 3 days after that second application. And as you can see, in 2006, our numbers were relatively low, but this is showing number of thrips per plant. In our non-treated, non-sprayed, we were averaging about 14 thrips. All of our seed treatments and Temic significantly reduced thrips populations compared to the non-treated. And also, where we made those two applications of acephate at a quarter of a pound, again, we significantly reduced the thrips populations compared to the non-treated, non-sprayed plots. In addition, we also measured plant heights 13 days after that second treatment. And again, you can see that there was an effect from that application. Plants are about an inch taller in those sprayed plots compared to the non-sprayed plots, except in the Temic, in the non-sprayed. But what we found is at the end of the season, this really didn't correlate with yields. Essentially, there were no differences in yields among these different treatments. In fact, numerically, our unsprayed plots yielded a little bit higher, slightly higher than our sprayed plots. And that's probably just a reflection of what some of these early season broad spectrum insecticides can do to our beneficial populations and flare some other things like aphids and some of our early season caterpillars like salt marsh caterpillars and yellow-striped armyworms. This past season, we wanted to look at ARS seed treatment. We were really doing this to look at its impact on cutworms, but we also did some thrips counts as well. This slide on the left is showing immature thrips per plant 14 days after planting, and then the two sets of bars in the middle and on the right are showing plant height at 29 and 45 days after planting. Now within this test, because we were wanting to look at the impact on cutworms, we had ARS in this test along with Temic, and then we wanted to split out the two different components of ARS, which is imidacloprid or Gaucho Grande, and then thiodicarb, which is in there primarily for nematode control, but it also gives some cutworm control. What this is showing is that the thiodicarb essentially didn't give us any control of thrips, so it didn't really add much in terms of thrips control compared to the imidacloprid or the ARS alone. but I will mention it is slightly numerically lower, and there was some difference in those plants visually. If we had taken a visual rating, the plots treated with thiodicarb would look better than the non-treated. And you can see that in plant heights at 45 days after planting. It's not significantly different, but those plants are slightly taller in the thiodicarb treatment compared to the non-treated. This is just a test from this past summer looking at foliar thrips control. We've had a lot of questions about what to use for thrips control and what won't flare some of our aphids, and we've recently started having some significant spider mite problems early season. But what this slide's shown is essentially our old standards, the Orthane and Biodrin, are still our best options. In this, we also looked at Tracer, which is a very good thrips compound against western flower thrips, but where we have primarily tobacco thrips, it doesn't seem to have done as well. And we also had carbene in that, and you can see, I think Rusty's going to talk about this some more in his talk, but it did significantly reduce thrips populations compared to the non-treated. This is just another test. Again, we had Tracer in this test, but as the season progressed this year, we started getting higher populations of western flower thrips in our cotton, so we wanted to look at some of the compounds that are a little better against western flower thrips, such as Tracer and Monitor. As you can see, nothing did a really good job where we had primarily western flower thrips in this cotton, but our capture seemed to look real good, and Monitor as well. This is another test where we just wanted to look at different rates of some of our standard OPs. Again, we had Tracer in this, and this was probably 25 to 30% western flower thrips in this test. Again, Monitor, most of our OPs seem to give us our best level of thrips control. As I mentioned, we had done this ARES test, the previous ARES test, to look at the impact on cutworms, and Ryan Jackson is the one who did most of this work. And again, it's the same treatments that I showed for the thrips test. As you can see, the way we did this is we went out and artificially infested 7-day-old cutworms and 1-day-old cutworms at the 1 to 2 true leaf stage. And the reason we did that is we wanted to simulate a situation where we're planting into something like a stale seed bed with a 7-day-old larvae, where the larvae are already there in the field. And then we also did it with 1-day-old larvae to simulate a situation where moths have come in and laid into that field after it's planted and up. And as you can see, I think we need to do a lot more work on this, because it's surprising that the imidacloprid treatment by itself reduced the number of cut plants by cutworms, but also the thiodicarb and the ARES was somewhat lower even than the imidacloprid. So it does seem to have some impact on cutworms, but we're going to have to look at this a little bit closer. This is just a slide showing the data for the 1-day-old, showing percentage of plants with cutworm feeding. And again, it pretty much mirrors the data for the 7-day-old. And again, it's somewhat surprising that the imidacloprid treatment by itself reduced some of the cutworm feeding in those plots. So now moving into cotton aphids, and that's really why we're starting to focus a lot on thrips control, is because we're seeing that what we're spraying for our thrips control is affecting our cotton aphid populations later in the year. This is a slide from Roger Leonard. If any of y'all saw his talk this morning, he showed this slide, and all it's really showing is the level of cotton aphid control with neonicotinoids over from 2001. And essentially, we're seeing a decrease in the level of control we're getting in those tests, but we're also seeing an increase in the variability in those tests in our response of cotton aphids to neonicotinoids. We've gotten a lot of calls over the last several years throughout the Mid-South of several consultants and growers not satisfied with the level of control they're getting with the neonicotinoids. So we wanted to look at what impact these seed treatments are having on cotton aphids. This again is from that ARES seed treatment. It's counting cotton aphids. We looked at the number of aphids per 10 leaves in this test, 34 days after the first planting date, and then 14 and 26 days after the second planting date. And I think is something we're going to have to look a lot closer at. It's surprising in the first planting date on the left, you can see that actually the thiodicar by itself appears to add something in terms of aphid control. It was similar to the Gaucho Grande by itself, but what, and then the Aris, the combination of the imidacloprid and thiodicarb was even lower than that, but Artemic was the lowest. We didn't see that in the second planting date, so I think we're going to have to look a little closer at what's going on there. But the main point I wanted to make from this slide is that in each situation, the seed treatments fall somewhere between the Temic, which had the lowest number of aphids, and the untreated. So this does show that these neonicotinoid seed treatments, or it suggests that the seed treatments are having some selection pressure on cotton aphids to the neonicotinoids. This is just another survey where we were looking at the same thing in large plots. We had a non-treated, cruiser-treated seed, and then Temic at planting. And as you can see, it essentially shows the same thing, where our seed treatment fell somewhere between the Temic and the non-treated. So again, it just shows that these seed treatments are having an effect on aphid populations, and that there does appear to be some selection pressure for the neonics. This slide is just showing a foliar aphid control test to look at some of our better options for controlling cotton aphids 48 and 72 hours after treatment. As you can see, at 48 hours after treatment, our best treatments were anything with intruder in it at 0.8 ounces per acre. And we did have, this is showing percent control, we did see somewhat of an increase with the intruder plus Vidate combination plus the methylated seed oil. 72 hours after infestation, the carbene had really stood out in this test. The neonicotinoids were somewhat lower than that, but again, we did see somewhat of an increase in our intruder where we did add that methylated seed oil. So to summarize, based on our results, foliar thrips applications rarely result in an economic benefit behind these at-planting insecticides. And many times, the risk of flaring things like cotton aphids and spider mites are going to be greater than the rewards in those situations. The Aris, based on the limited amount of work that we've done so far, does seem to have some activity on cutworms, but we're going to have to do a lot more work with the cutworms and the Aris and start looking at that a lot closer. And finally, the neonicotinoid seed treatments do appear to be providing somewhat of a selection pressure against cotton aphids for the neonicotinoids. And that again is something that we're going to have to investigate and consider some different options in some of these areas where we may be experiencing control difficulties with the neonics. So with that, I'll end and be happy to answer any questions.
We have time for questions.
Yeah, definitely. We're definitely going to do a lot more work with the cutworms and with aphids. I think there's not a lot we can do with the thrips because we don't have a lot of things labeled other than the organophosphates and the pyrethroids, and they're so cheap that even if we did have other options, I don't know if they'd ever be used. Thank you.